Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So thank God that we are here on another day, with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk radio friends, all of our Twitter followers, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our LinkedIn connections. It's good to be here. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. So we'd like to ask you a question that we often ask, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So you're going to have the Holy Ghost. That is the born-again experience, and that is the water baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. That's the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is the letter that St. Paul the Apostle wrote to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, one of the churches that he started, one of his prison epistles. So we thank God that we are here just another day we're able to look into the perfect law of liberty. We want to forget what manner of man that we were, but we don't want to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. James said, that man shall be blessed in his deed. So it's just so good to be here, and we've been talking about Only Believe for a number of weeks. Of course, my ongoing theme, the Godhead, because it's just one God and one person in the Godhead. There's no Trinity. There's no two gods. There is only one. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He made all things. All things do exist by him, and he came into the world as a man and humbled himself as a man and was obedient unto the death of the cross. As St. Paul writes in, to the church at Philippi, the Philippian church, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he took on a body. It was written on of him to come into the world. Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. So the Son of God was given for this purpose, that he might, the Son of God came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God was manifest, made manifest, so he was visible in a body, in a human body, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he has once appeared in the end of the world to put away sin. The Hebrew writer says, by the sacrifice of himself. So he's not going to go back to Calvary anymore. The redemptive work has been done. The sacrifice have been made. The atonement has been made. So that is no more to be done. But now, is the in the end of the world, the gospel message is being preached, and there are signs all over the land. As the song says, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are feeling are failing for fear. It says, be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near, or the day of redemption is near. So these signs that are all over, the violence in the land, it's like it was in the days of Noah, it's like it was in the days of Lot. People want to do what they want to do. There's he, she's, and she, he's, and a he, she is somebody that want to be a she, but he's a he. And a she, he is somebody that wants to be a she, but it's, a she, he is somebody that wants to be a he, she is somebody that wants to be a she, but it is a he, and a she, and, you know, vice versa. So you can't be nothing to be pleasing in God's sight, to be the person that he made you to be, not for you to get 60 or 70 years old and decide that, oh, I don't want to be a man no more, I want to be a woman. I mean, that's ridiculous. Or you don't want to be a woman anymore, you want to be a man. But God made woman for man. He made the man first, and he made woman for man. He made Adam, and Eve came out of Adam. Eve, the woman, was made for the man. So got to have, the only way the world is like it is now is because of population. So if it had been all one gender, then the world wouldn't be populated as it is today. So if a male should desire companionship with a female, and vice versa, you should want a companion. So we thank God that we're here, and we're going to get we're in part on in the book of St. John, part 7 of our series, Only Believe. And so You can call in should you desire. You have a comment or you have a question. You can call in. Our number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So today we're moving on. We've been going through the book of St. John, and we are in the 12th chapter on today. So we're embarking on the 12th chapter, and we finished up last week. We were talking about the resurrection of Lazarus, the master raising Lazarus from the dead, and how he felt their grief and their pain when he came, and how Martha said, "You had been here, our brother would not have died. But I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it thee." He let her know, that is Jesus, let the master, the Messiah, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God, let Martha know that your brother is going to rise again. She says, "I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last day." He let her know, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So he asked her a question. "Believest thou this?" So she said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So we know this was, he showed a lot of signs and wonders, as we would say, miracles, to prove his deity when he walked the earth. And so that's what John the Apostle talks about in St. John. And then he lets us know things we should do, and even how he was manifest to take away the sins of the world, and other things that he wrote in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, epistles of John, that is. And then also he gave us the end, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was wrote by St. John or John the Apostle. So he wrote St. John, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle of John, and he also wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's all on record for us to take heed. And these are written that you might believe and that you might have life through his name. So on the day he laid down his life, Jesus laid down his life for the sins of the whole world. That's what we're talking about today. And actually our key scripture that we're going to be using, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So that he is actually talking about his own impeding death in St. John 12 and 24. That corn of wheat that he's talking about falling in the ground and die was himself. So we have to understand biblical terminology, and he used parables during that time because they understood what he was talking about when he used parables. It's like he said he's going to make them fishers of men. And then he was also, and in some of the other gospels, when he was talking about that God was able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham, he wasn't talking about stones. When he was saying if these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out, he's not talking about literal rocks. Like I said on last week, I was a rock. I wonder whose place did I take? Because when he's talking about a stone or a rock, he's actually talking about the condition of one's heart. That's what he's going to do for Israel. And Ezekiel 36:26 is going to take away the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh and put his spirit in them and cause them to keep his statutes. And it's in another place also in Ezekiel, he's saying the same thing. He's going to take away the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. So this is what he's talking about. He's going to have a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So what he's talking about, no fault. So what he looks at is the intent of the heart. That's what the Word of God, and Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And he's still talking about the word of God and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talking about the word of God. So you can't get away. God and his word is the self-same thing. As we say, synoptic. So even all the gospels, they are complementing one another. Nobody's saying nothing totally different. People just had different views. Just like somebody said about Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick. One said the master took her by the hand and the fever left her. Somebody else said he touched her and the fever left her. And another one of the writers said he stood over her and the fever left her. So everybody is saying the same thing. So just like John, when they got Jesus was walking on the water, the fourth watch of the night in the 14th chapter of Matthew and in the 6th chapter of Mark and in the 6th chapter of St. John, when he got in the boat, they was talking about how many furlongs they went till they got to the other side because they cried out. They thought he was a spirit. He would have passed by, but they cried out. And so John says, when he got in the boat in John 6:21, immediately they were at their other side, whether they went. So everybody was saying the same thing. They still traveled the same amount of furlongs, however, whatever the distance was to get from where he was when he got into the ship until he got to the other side. But everybody's perception of what happened, John said, as soon as he got in, we were at the other side immediately. So God is God, and no one can stop him. No one can fight against him. No one can win against him. So this is why this book was written, so that we might believe. And so this is what we're continuing on in our lesson on today. And again, should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You desire to call in, you have a comment, you have a question, you are welcome, because we are going we're going through the Word of God, looking into the Word of God. So that it's not a know-it-all, but we're going into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. So we're going through these verses in St. John as we keep going forward with our lesson, only believe. So important to believe. So then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So case in point right here. We have to pay very close attention to repetition. Something is said over and over. And this is what was said back in the book of Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. So what is that saying? Here's a rule, another rule will establish this rule. That's what a precept is, a rule. So it was one scripture will support scripture. And then where you have, as we say, you can't put it all together, it's a puzzle. You can't put it all together, then you have right division will give you the answer. So the case that's being established right here as John continues to write in the 12th chapter of St. John is, don't ever forget, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And this is what he's talking about. So he's continuing here. They made him a supper. So this was 6 days before the Passover. They came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was, had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So this is what I made mention. If you caught the broadcast on last week about this ointment, was very costly, very expensive. I'm told that this ointment was a year wage, a year's wages. So that's very expensive. If it took a year's wages to buy that ointment, that is some very costly ointment. So we go on here as we read. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He's asking a question. Then he said, he's talking, continuing on, John, as he writes here about Judas, this statement that he was just, this question that he just asked about why it wasn't sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. This said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she done. She kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. So think about that. John said, he didn't say that because he cared for the poor. He was a thief. So somebody's always, that's why you have to keep your heart. Proverbial writer in Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it was in his heart to say something sarcastic. That's what John was saying. He didn't care for the poor. He was a thief. So he didn't want to see that happen. Then on the other hand, sometimes people do know things that are happening. So much people of the Jews therefore knew that it was that he was there. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. So that, yeah, that's the proof. Lazarus was the proof. They knew he raised him from the dead. So even today, people have been, miracles are still happening. People are being raised, as they say, if they were clinically dead, they were raised from the dead. So now if the Lord is able to do it, to raise somebody that's been dead for 4 days like Lazarus, oh, yes, he is. Because it's going to come to pass that the dead in the graves, in the fifth chapter of St. John writes, going to hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So he's not only that, he's going to raise up Israel, the nation of Israel. In the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, the whole nation of Israel, them dry bones, he's going to raise them up. David is going to be king over Israel, going to bring him back. He's going to do miracles, as we would call them, because it is a miracle, because nobody can do it, because he's God, he speaks, and it is so. And so whatever he says is going to come to pass. Nobody can stop him. So, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. So that devil is a real fool. He always was, since he made himself the devil, and he's still a fool even today, and he's going to be a fool. And even when he gets cast into the lake of fire, he is who he is. So he's an enemy of righteousness. He's an enemy of our souls, because he want to get back at God, because he got threw out, got cast down from his position. He was an anointed cherub that covered. He walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. God said him so. He was perfect in wisdom and beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him. So he haven't lost nothing. That's the only way we can overcome him. The only way we can defeat him, you got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't defeat him by yourself. That's why the writer in Zechariah 4:6 says, the word of the Lord that came unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So the only way you're going to defeat him, you got to have the Holy Ghost to be able to do that, because you can't do it on your own. Even Michael the Archangel was disputing with Satan, the devil, about the body of Moses. The writer Jude says he durst not accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So one thing about God, at the command of one angel, he's going to lay hold on that old dragon, the devil, and serpent, and put a seal on him, and put him in the bottomless pit, and a chain on him, and shut him up for 1,000 years. One angel, by the command of God. So God is not playing. So it's a matter of time. Iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. So we are in that time now. We are living in a dark day. People are coming up saying all kinds of stuff, naming themselves a bishop, calling themselves apostles, calling themselves prophet whoever. They lying is what they're doing, because everything that they do is tied to money. They ain't preaching the gospel. It ain't about us. It ain't about a blessing for you. You can get whatever you want if you got the money. But it's about the salvation of your souls is what it's all about. So on the next day, much people that will come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of the palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus, when he has found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they these things which were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he had caused Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him. They had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And when there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he's prophesying of his own death, impeding death again. And he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Glorify, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people there, therefore that stood by heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is Father, glorify thy name. Then came glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I will glorify it. Both glorify it and will glorify it again. The people, they thought it said it thundered. Then Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So then he goes on here to say, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Then he said, signifying what death he should die. So as we go on here, the people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while, it is light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So remember now, this is what I'm talking about. In here, only believe. So we can see the correlation here. And people, you know, like they said on in last week's lesson, we were talking after the resurrection, after he raised Lazarus from the dead, they said if we let him alone, in St. John 11:48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So, I mean, people, it's just ridiculous. I mean, people are, what they call it, jockeying for position, and they're doing the same thing today. And then the bad part about it, not just in government, you know, political jobs and all of that, but even so-called church people are wanting position. I can't think of the word that they're politicking. They're politicking so they can get a position. And you don't have to do that because your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. This is what the Bible says. So you don't have man's gift maketh room for him and bringing him before great men. You don't have to do that. Be who you are. A title ain't going to make you, you know, people just, they want to be recognized by a title. The question is, are you anointed? What do you know? Nobody can stop you. You don't have to have the title of a great man because you're serving the great God. You don't have to be, as we say, a bishop or a reverend or a pope, all of these, a cardinal and all this, these titles that men give men. But if you're truly called of God, you can operate in the gift that God has given you, and no man, no devil can stop you, let alone a man. So you can still be who you are in God. You don't have to jockey for position. So he hid himself, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So, you know, that's in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And you want to know something? All of the prophetic folks, that was a prophetic word right there, because it was, he actually quoted from the prophetic prophet, Isaiah. Ain't no prophetic nowadays. If you're saying only prophetic is, you're saying what the prophetic writer said. There's no new office. This foolishness. I've been in church for 41 years. They came up, they're coming up out of the woodwork with stuff, talking out of the side of their neck, making up stuff, crowning themselves with titles. It is crazy. And forgetting that the message is about the salvation of souls. The message is the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is the Messiah, that he came to save sinners, not us being so important and we speaking a blessing on somebody, because, and this is your time and this is your season. That is stupidity. That's ignorance. Like St. Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. No. The time is to repent and get yourself ready to get out of here because the Lord is soon to come. I mean, what do we think just happened? Was that last Monday? A week ago, this past Monday, was a total eclipse. I mean, you want to know a secret? If you do what God says, you'll be seeing that every day. You'll be seeing the handiworks of God every single day. That won't even be nothing. You don't have to have no glasses to do it because you have a body like his. You can just think of somewhere to be and be there. So people just don't get it. And the devil want to blind people, blind their minds. And that's why St. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, of whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto their hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. So your mind is blinded by stuff and things and the philosophies and of men and these so-called smart people and people explaining, trying to explain away the existence of God. But I'm here to tell you, only believe. I'm a witness. So he's real, and you might as well believe it. Every knee is going to bow. You don't bow now, you will be bowing later. And people laughing at people, because you can pray. You don't have to be on your knees. You could be laying down. You could be sitting down. You could be standing up. God is not concerned about the position of your body in prayer, but but what is utmost important, condition of your heart in prayer. I'm cursing devils in the name of Jesus right now as I'm teaching this lesson. I'm binding devils right now as I'm teaching this lesson. Nobody can stop you from praying. They're talking about prayer out of the school. No, prayer is in your heart. I can be standing right before somebody and binding them in the name of Jesus because it's in the spirit realm where you pray. Just a manifestation. It might come out of our heart, and we say hallelujah, we say thank you, Jesus, or say in the name of Jesus, but it's already going on. The prayer wheels are already turning in our heart, and nobody can stop us. So we got to know that. So therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes, harden their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So that's in another scripture, I believe it's in the 16th chapter of Luke, says that what's highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In other words, he hates it. He hates lying lips. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 12 and 22. So God hates that. And so but people, that pride thing, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So people, first cometh pride. So people are full of pride. And too many times, Jesus cried and said, so this cry is a proclamation. He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. So you got to understand. Just like he said in St. John 6 and 63, back of when we taught some weeks back, it's the spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means to make alive. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it's life in his words. So what he said, it came to pass. So all we want to know is, did God say it? So he can't lie. It's like I said when he talked about Abraham in the fourth chapter of Romans, talking about Abraham, who when God made promise to Abraham, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he knew he had said it. He was able also to bring it to pass. And then back in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, talks about God making a promise to Abraham. Says when he swore by no greater, he swore by himself. So in other words, it's impossible for him to lie. He can't lie. So if he said it, that's the key. Did he say it? And that's what I'm talking about, these lying so-called prophets and so-called apostles. And nowadays, they are lying. And these people don't have the gall to challenge them, because you got to fight for souls. Because even when you get in here, that's why he said, fight the good fight of faith. Paul told Timothy, his son in the gospel, lay hold on eternal life. So you got to fight. So that's why he was saying at the end of his life, before he went to Nero's chopping block, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. So you got to keep the faith. We got to keep the faith, because there will not be another. So it's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. As I wrote the quote out of the church, the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, that St. Paul was letting them know who they were and their position. So that's why he was saying, even in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, in the 10th verse, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We come up with stuff that sound good, that your trials come to make you strong and all that. That is a lie. Your trial, when you take a test, the test shows you where you are. He told us to be strong, to be holy. Ain't no need no test to be strong. That's crazy. But people are just going along with foolishness. They've been conned by the devil to believe garbage. So as we go on here in the lesson, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge, but to save the world. He that rejected me and rejected not and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So this is St. John 12:48. What he's saying is the word of God is the judge. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you hear the gospel, you have a choice to believe, or you have a choice to not believe. But you are going to be judged. And that's why he said to the church, the Corinthian church, in his second letter, he would say the gospel is the savior of life unto life and death unto death. So the same word that will save you was the same word that will condemn you if you don't believe. So that's why we are endeavoring to try to put this word out there, that men and women and boys and girls might believe, that souls might believe. I don't care what you are. If you made yourself nothing, it ain't got to do with what sexual organs you got. You got a soul. While you still living, you could be saved. Because in the world to come, you ain't going to be, we're going to be like the Lord. We're going to be neuter gender. We're going to be neither male nor female. That's what he was telling those people during that time in Moses' day, when he how the woman was married to seven men. And at that time, if the man died, his brother was to take his wife to raise up seed, and seven had her. And the last of all, the woman died. They asked the question, whose wife shall she be in the regeneration? He said, neither, but they shall be as angels, which means neuter gender, neither male nor female. So some people, when they, you know, they lose a husband or a wife, and I know about it. I was married for over 39 years. And I lost a wife. But the marriage covenant is until death do you part. So ain't going to be. Some people, I know people going through the grieving process, you know, always love my wife, I'll see her again, or they always love their husband, they're going to see him again. No, you're not. That's okay. You know, that's the way they feel. But in the world to come, you will never see that person like you saw them, because it's over. Till death do you part. So that's why you're free to marry whom you will, only in the Lord. You can Mary because it is the end of that relationship, and that is by virtue of death that is over. And so some people don't, you know, they're going through things, you just let them go. But, you know, then people try to condemn people if they get married, or they lie on them and say they was looking at somebody else before, especially if the person was sick. You lie on them, yeah, he was looking at somebody else before she died. Because, I mean, that's the kind of things that people do. But one thing about I learned about that, what people say and do to people, that's what they think about you. So, I mean, that's why you have to watch your heart. So as we continue on here, so for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting, is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So this is what we're talking about. We're still trying to get people to believe. So that's the devil is the devil. The same game plan is to shut people up, especially folks that are witnesses for the Lord. The truth going to make you free. So that's why he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then the proverbial writer in Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So the truth is going to make you free, and he knows that. So he wants to stone you to death or kill you. You know, kill you, shut you up, to stop so you can not help nobody or not give somebody the opportunity to believe, the opportunity to be saved. So in other words, you're saving them in reality because you're the conduit by which they're hearing the good news of the. And at that time, they believed on him. And so you can imagine those people who had contact with Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, during his earthly ministry after he died, they knew who he was, that he got up from the dead and he sent the Holy Ghost back on the 50th day after the resurrection. He was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and 10 days later he sent back power from on high. You know, they must have believed. So that's what the job of the enemy is to stop people, because he know that he's going to a devil's hell. Matthew 25:41, he curse ye into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So nobody in their right mind want to go to the hell hole, as we say, the lake of fire, place of torment, where the worm dieth not and the fires never quench. You got to be out of your mind, want to go there. Ain't nothing in this world worth going, losing your soul for, to be in torment forever for. So now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, thou dost wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. And he goes on here, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So he humbled himself. So, and then during that time, they walked dirt roads. They didn't have pavement and all everywhere that they went. Like nowadays, you got a lot of sidewalks and brick roads and blacktop and concrete. Especially in urban areas, we call them city or whatever. A lot of places you have access where you're not in the dirt, but you have at the least nice brick to walk on, or concrete or blacktop or whatever people use. But they were walking the dusty shores of Galilee, dirt roads and all in that day, and so they wore sandals and their feet got dirty. So people would go over to somebody's house, they'd wash your feet. You humbling yourself to wash somebody's feet, but you washed them because their feet were dirty and because they walked dirt roads. So they came in and took their sandals off, they washed their feet, then at least their feet are clean in your house. Probably didn't have carpet and all, like throw rugs. I don't know what they had in that day. But it was a act of humility to wash somebody's feet during that time. And so that's why when we have communion, people call it feet washing and communion. So the brothers wash each other's feet and the sisters wash each other's feet before you receive communion. So a lot of churches don't do it. They'll just have communion. But it's an act of humility. And I mean, just like you said, I've given you an example that you should do it. So why not? You know, not that you're so good, you don't want to take the time and set it up where you do the feet washing before you do the communion. It's just an act of humility. And they would say, you wash someone's feet and you bear their burden. So in other words, it's an act of humility. And we know you bear one another burdens, and every man should bear his own burden. We understand that, but it's humility is shown in it. And our Lord himself gave the example of doing it. So that's why he was saying that, verily, verily, I tell you before it come to pass, when it's come to pass. So in other words, happy are you if you do these things. Then he said, I speak not of you all, but I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So he's not done here. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. So remember now, we're talking about only believe. So he can't get away from that. No matter what you do, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, remember, you probably heard me say before that he's omnipotent, which means he has all power. He's omnipresent, which talking about God, which means he's everywhere in every place. And he's omniscient, which means he knows all things. So He's not talking off the top of his head when he said that. So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And our time is almost gone on today. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, and he took that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto them, That thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Some of them thought because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which are that we have need of against the feast, that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And he goes on here, and our time is almost gone. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, new commandment I have given unto you, I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus said unto him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? He's talking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. He's still talking to Peter. The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And so we're going to end right there with today's lesson, and we will come back on next time. So we want you to think, as we have said, and we always ask you the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So remember, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Got to be honest with yourself. That is my question to you.